theme song. We're all in this together for our extra hour of the morning show. Working hard to bring you lots of live programming, coverage, resources in our region that you can find out about. I'm Heidi Holton. If you've missed this hour during the last week or so, you can hear a lot of the interviews we've been doing at our website, kaxe.org, or subscribe to the Morning Show podcast to get those interviews sent directly to your device. The pandemic of COVID-19 is a scary, anxious time that none of us have been through before. And as we learned last hour, those who already struggle with mental illness may be particularly hit hard at this time. If you have concerns about your medications, telemedicine, or you are in crisis, you can call 211 or you can text MN to 741741. And stay connected. That's our suggestion. I know I've been working hard to connect with friends, whether it is Zoom meetings at night with friends and check in with them, or talking to people on the radio like Aaron Brown. I have not been connected to you for a long time. Seems like a long time.
Yeah, it has been a while, almost a world ago, I think.
Gosh. So, first of all, how are you personally handling everything with your family and friends, and how's it going?
Well, you know, the initial reaction to this for a person who likes to work alone and not be bothered was one of probably a guilty joy over being. And now, of course, everybody's home. My wife's working from home as well, and all the kids are home, and so we're all together. So that alone time is no longer a thing. And yeah, it wears on you over time. Just not being able to get out, not being able to kind of set your compass by the events of your community, things going on. We're starting to notice the little milestones, like Doug doesn't get to play baseball because baseball's canceled, and you know, things we would have normally been doing this time of year we're now not doing, and so now that's starting to set in, and we're dealing with that.
Yeah, and usually, you know, we don't even realize how much, you know, we see or talk to our extended family. You have a sister who is in Italy right now, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
How's she doing?
My sister Alyssa has been living in Florence, Italy for almost 2 years now, and so she has been there through all of this, and really is now unable to leave. She had a window where she could have left. She was planning to come back this summer to earn some money here in the United States to go back, and that is on hold. And Florence is not part of the country that was hit hard by COVID-19. There are some cases, but it's since they've been in lockdown, it's a little bit like it is here to some extent. So it hasn't been as bad as the places where the hospitals have been overflowing with people. But they're very serious about it over there because of how bad it got and how much of a threat it was. And so, yeah, they can't even go out in groups of two. You know, they stop you, the police stop you if you're on the street, that kind of thing. So they're very serious about it, and she's just hunkered down with her boyfriend in Florence, and she's doing fine. I talked to her, and, you know, things are okay. But, it puts something, an added element to this when you're thinking about what's happening here, seeing the world, it's connected. I just talked to a friend who's in Thailand yesterday. He's stuck. Same deal, you know, all over the world, we're all connected in this strange way.
Yeah, and I know one of the projects you're working on right now for a book and also for a podcast that we'll be hearing on KEXE, KBXE, your partner in that, he's quarantined, right?
Or yeah, Carl, my research partner, Carl Jacob, was self-quarantined with symptoms of COVID-19. He was tested, but the results never came back. Of course, New York City is an epicenter and will be getting worse before it gets better. In fact, an acquaintance of his died this week, and he knows a lot of people who are gravely ill with it. It's very serious in New York, a little bit like it is in Northern Italy, or was in Northern Italy as it was ramping up. And so, yeah, another example, and of course our project's been on hold while he was recovering, and Carl was recovering, and I talked to him yesterday, and or 2 days ago, I guess. Now he was feeling better and returning to normal. But what is normal? You know, he's a gig worker, works in technology. All of his work has been canceled, and he's trying to pay rent in New York City. And so that is another aspect of this that is touching everybody, is the economic impact.
We're talking to Aaron Brown. You know him from Dig Deep and the Great Northern Radio Show here at KEXE KBXE. He's an instructor at Hibbing Community College and writes the blog Minnesota Brown. Later in this hour, we're going to talk to John Zemke. He's a Minnesota history teacher at Forest View Middle School in Baxter, and he'll tell us how they've been preparing and getting ready for this distance learning. You have a little experience at this, Aaron.
Yeah, this is another thing where a lot of teachers were, of course, floored by this enormous task of having to plan new methods of delivering education using the internet and using other means. I've been teaching online for more than 15 years, and so I have that advantage, but that doesn't mean there isn't a tremendous amount of work to do. It is a long process to create a class that is delivered fully online. I think there's a misconception that such a thing is easier. In fact, it's a lot more work, and because you have to replicate the experience of talking to people in a room and try to replicate it using discussions and videos and putting material you would present with your words in class into something that not only reaches students, but reaches students with different learning styles. And this is a big part of education that I think this is kind of peeking behind the curtains of how teachers think and operate for those who aren't familiar with education. No two learners are exactly alike. And online, you could put all your material online and just have everybody read a bunch of stuff. But that is not how a lot of people learn. In fact, if you're listening to this and you remember hating school from when you were a kid, and you hated reading, and it was never, and you always felt like they made you feel dumb, quite often those are experiences that relate to you being a different style of learner than the way the information was presented. And education's made a lot of leaps and bounds in reaching different learners, but when we all have to go online quickly, boy, it's a lot of work. I can't describe the amount of work my colleagues have been putting in trying to get this ready. I teach at Hibbing Community College, and the same thing is happening at all the colleges. And there's some unique challenges, too. For me, it's just work to get it ready. It's doable. It's not an impossible task, just an engineering problem, I guess you'd say. But for a lot of instructors who teach lab work, particularly technical programs like the diesel mechanics, for instance, if you're going to teach a diesel mechanic, typically what you do is you bring them into a shop with a variety of diesel engines and different setup scenarios for them to diagnose. You teach, you instruct, you have them complete tasks to demonstrate that they know how to do things. Well, how do you do that online? And it's a very difficult problem that we've been dealing with. It's not resolved entirely because some things will need students to have access to a lab environment. And so what we're doing in those cases is quite often delaying or putting off the lab work, getting the book work done while the lab work waits in abeyance to be done at a later date when the restrictions are lifted enough that students can come into a lab. But a lot of logistical problems, you know, a lot of the old ways of doing things just won't work during this situation.
Yeah, and we need those mechanics and those welders and all of that stuff right now. So
yeah,
it's not an easy issue to deal with. I was wondering, Aaron, so you're going to also be in the position of teaching your boys, or at least corralling them to get their work done.
That's more accurate there, yeah.
I've been thinking about, and I saw someone post about this on social media, that, you know, this is a new thing for parents, it's a new thing for teachers, and I think we all got to remember to be kind of kind to each other in this, that, you know, like sometimes how people talk about youth sports, that the parents are so difficult to deal with at youth sports.
Yeah.
What's your advice to parents and teachers out there during this time?
Well, only that I don't know that I'm in a great position to offer advice right now, because for the last 2 weeks of this kind of a break period, my boys have been mostly playing video games. But I feel a little guilty giving people advice. But I will say that parental involvement in this kind of situation is really important. At least we're going to try to institute on Monday, when the official start date is, we're going to try to institute a regular schedule. And I know a lot of parents have already been doing that, but it's really important from an educational standpoint to have this time. I'm a writer. It's the same thing if you're going to be a writer. You have to set time to sit and do the work. You can't just say, oh, I'll get to it here and there or when I feel like it, because you won't do it, or you won't do it well if you do it that way. So you have to have a little bit of discipline, no matter what age the student is. And then to remember that, at least this is, again, maybe from a teacher's standpoint, but the teachers, I think, really want this to work. And speaking as a teacher, one of the great questions I have is, will I be able to reach the student who is having problems or having a challenge or a barrier? Will I even know that they're struggling? So I think the other thing for parents to do is to get in touch with their teachers, the students' teachers, when they need help. I'll give you a good example. I never was very good at math. I'll just explain it that way. And my son was struggling with some high school freshman level math a while back, and he said, the thing you always hear, Dad, when am I going to use this? And of course, my only good answer was, well, you'll need to know this when your son is taking this class. But in those situations, reach out to the teacher, reach out for some resources. It's frustrating to watch as a teacher students say, I just can't do this. And it's even more frustrating when the parents say that. The parents say, oh, we just can't do this. I guess we'll just skip this. Try to fight through those urges, these very human urges, to just avoid the things that are too hard to look at. So whether it's a math or whatever subject that a student struggles with, reach out to the teachers. Schedule a Zoom meeting or a call, or just a phone call probably would do quite a lot. Even some emails with some clarifying questions. These teachers, I think, are going to be very interested in helping you. And also, as parents, it's okay to not know stuff. I have forgotten ninth grade math. I am an adult human, functional in most ways, and I can't do this math. I need help. And so you got to just bite it off and say, you know what, I'm a grown-up who doesn't know math, and I got to get some help on this. And that's okay. It doesn't mean you're dumb or bad. It just means that's reality for some people.
Yeah, and we want to make sure we thank all the teachers. I know I'm seeing a lot of photos. It's kind of pickup day the next couple of days for the next week for the learning. And also they're doing food. I mean, there's so much going on for teachers, whether it is, you know, from preschool to college level like you. So our thanks go out to those folks. You and them are on the front lines there, and it's not the easiest time in the world right now.
No, I kind of feel like in my own weird way in my little house that we have 1,000 fronts of this battle, whether it's my sister overseas or the teaching or the kids being home. We're all kind of in the middle of this, despite being in the middle of the forests of Itasca County.
Yeah. So, Aaron, before we go, let's talk a little bit about what you know about the news of the Iron Range and how things are going there, what you've been following in papers and what kind of resources that are still are on the range.
That's right. And, of course, the Iron Range has been this kind of strange island of, it always is a strange island of activity, but it remains so. And one of the two biggest industries on the range are healthcare and mining. And both of those industries are running right now at full, and not just with social distancing or not people working from home as much, but like mining and healthcare are two jobs that you have to do with people in an environment. And of course, mining has an advantage. Modern mining is mostly operators operating equipment individually with a lot of social distancing. You know, if you ever see those big trucks and imagine the driver up there, very socially distant up there in the cab of that truck, of that haul truck, hauling 240 tons of taconite. So the mines are still running, and Governor Walz's order yesterday leaves them open. It does not shut down the mines. They're described as critical manufacturing. So mines are still running, and so is healthcare. So in a way, there's actually still a fair amount of activity on the range, those being the biggest industries. But I think culturally we're seeing, of course, the restaurants being closed, the bars being closed is a very big deal on the range. I think it's been prohibition since the bars were closed on the range. So
liquor stores are still open, though.
Liquor stores are still open, yes. And they are, from what I've seen from driving by a couple of them, doing a brisk business. But there are some, I mean, you and I had talked before about some of the restaurants that are still doing curbside pickup and delivery. There's a number of them. The Hibbing Daily Tribune and the Mesabi Daily News both reported a pretty exhaustive list about a week ago. I will say that I know and can identify some of these that have since decided to close until this is over because of just staffing issues, and that really could happen at any time for any of these businesses. At any time, a business owner might have to say, you know what, I can't afford to keep doing this, especially if we're losing money. I have to shut down. And so my advice would be to, before I run through this quickly, is to always check ahead. Most of these places have a phone number, a website, or a Facebook page of some kind. So if you do a little searching, it's pretty easy to find out. But in Hibbing, the Bok Yen, Garden Restaurant, Bailey's Coffee, these are places with curbside pickup and delivery. The Country Kitchen did close recently just this week, waiting. Domino's, Herbert's and Gerbert's, actually any of the places you might call fast food, I'll just lump them all together. If they have a drive-through window, they're probably doing drive-through. And so that's just a blanket statement that I would say. Grandma's, Mike's Pub, Pizza Ranch, the buffet is, I think, still doing takeout. The Rhythm Deli, Rudy's Pizza, Sammy's Pizza has been a very popular pickup option, and they are delivering as well. The Sunrise Deli and Hibbing Classic, they're still doing takeout. Curbside pickup only is JJ's Coffee, Palmer's, Papa Murphy's, of course, is a take-and-bake place, Sportsman's Restaurant. These are all in Hibbing, by the way. Sunrise Bakery is doing takeout. And then, of course, the fast food restaurants. Over on the eastern side of the range, Virginia, Eveleth, and the East Range, Kell's Kitchen and Babbitt, the Northern Divide in Virginia, Rink Sports Bar and Grill in Eveleth, Sawmill Saloon and Restaurant in Virginia, Mary's Morsels in Eveleth, Jew's Chinese Restaurant in Virginia, the Thirsty Moose in Hibbing, which is contentious. I'm from Cherry. They're just over the line in Hibbing, but they're a Cherry business, I would describe them as. Anyway, they're still doing some takeout. The Village Inn is doing carryout. Bright Spot Nutrition in Virginia, Carlson Pasty and Sausage in Bowabic, Grandma's Virginia Grill in Virginia, La Cochina and Katina in Virginia, Fitz's Wandering Pines in Gilbert, BG's Bar and Grill in Mountain Iron, Virginia, and the Saigon Cafe is doing takeout. Memory Lane in Gilbert is doing pickup or delivery free of charge, and Little Gourmet Deli in MB's Little Gourmet Deli in Virginia is doing some takeout as well. And actually, I'm this just in, Heidi, my wife is scribbling a note. Valentini's in Chisholm is doing takeout, another business that we know about. So
yeah. So we are recommending that, you know, you do. People, of course, we're getting more groceries than we usually have on hand, but think about frequenting some of these places as well.
Yeah, well, these businesses need help, and they really have their... Mucho Si in Nashwauk, the Mexican restaurant as well. My wife is already on the job here. She's my producer this morning. That's a long list. I guess what I'd say is... do that. Check on your favorite restaurants, especially in a lot of these, and there might be some small businesses in some of the smaller towns in your area that usually serve some food. Check and see if they still are. It is nice to get a break from cooking. Most of us have been cooking more than we've ever cooked before. And it is nice. A lot of these places are using very hygienic practices in using gloves and making sure there's limited contact when they get the food to you. So check it out. Yeah, absolutely. I was going to get back to, I don't know, as a producer, if you need to cut me off, just do so. But talking about the mining and the future of the next few weeks here on the range, one of the things I'm watching is the fact that, you know, right now the mines are filling out contracts for ore and are in full production. There's no disruption to the production at the mines at this moment. But we do see nationally the U.S. American steel mills, U.S. Steel, ArcelorMittal, others, are shutting down their blast furnaces and mills temporarily. This is just starting to happen in response to things like automakers shutting down their factories due to COVID-19. The automakers and the U.S. auto, the auto workers and then the different companies, the big three American car companies, last week shut down those factories. This is going to create a backup that's going to eventually and maybe soon reach northern Minnesota and the mines on the Mesabi Iron Range. These mines will eventually experience some kind of probably temporary shutdowns. And the bigger threat to our industry, and I think to all of us, over time will not be these temporary shutdowns, but the effects of the long-term economic recession that is coming, that has already begun. We're already in recession, and all of the unemployment, when the whip cracks, we're all going to feel it. I don't think that you can just say that the disease, that the pandemic caused this one-to-one directly. I think there were signs that our economy had these weaknesses in it, and was being propped up by a lot of financial means, and now any disruption would have done this, and this is a big one. This disruption is going to cause companies to contract, is going to cause the pain that people felt after the financial crisis more than 10 years ago now. And so we aren't done just when we can come out of our houses. We have to rebuild our communities and our economy together just the same way.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much. Let's keep in touch and hang in there.
Yeah, we're getting by.
All right, sounds great. It's Aaron Brown. You can read his writing at minnesotabrown.com, and you can look forward to some Iron Range history he'll be doing on the radio. And if you want to tell us about a restaurant in your region, we were developing lists here, but Aaron's right. Take a look on Facebook, see if your favorite restaurant is open or not. Coming up, we'll check in with John Latimer, get an idea of some things to look at outside, and then a teacher from Forest View Middle School in Baxter. At 10 o'clock this morning, it's Brett Carter on the river.
Here's the thing, there you go. You don't see it, but I know.